course, it's going to be dark by the time we get out of here now with the time change. No, I'm not talking that long, but I just know time changes quickly. A group of students kind of had a reunion at one of their teachers' houses, and as they met and talked about their jobs and accomplishments, and pretty soon the conversation turned to complaints about stress and work. Offering his guest coffee, the teacher went to the kitchen and returned with a pot of coffee and some cups, an entire assortment of cups. Some were styrofoam, some porcelain, some crystal, some glass, some plain looking, and some very expensive. And he told them, please, have a cup of coffee. After they all were holding a cup in their hand, the professor said, have you noticed all the nice looking expensive cups have been taken, leaving behind the plain and the cheap one? Well, why it's normal for you to only want the best for yourselves, that's the source of your problems and stress. Be sure the cup itself adds no quality to the coffee. In most cases, it's just more expensive or hides what you're drinking. What you really wanted was coffee, not the cup. But you consciously went for the best cups, and then you began eyeing each other's cups to see who had the best one. Now consider this, life, coffee, the jobs, the position, the money, the positions in society are just the cups. They're just tools to hold and contain life, and the type of cup we have does not define nor change the quality of life that we live. Sometimes by concentrating only on the cup, we fail to enjoy the coffee. Savor the coffee, not the cups. This morning, I want us to look at a passage from Ephesians that challenges us to do just that, to concentrate and to focus on the coffee, on the life that we've been given, and not be distracted by all the exteriors. We'll be looking at Ephesians 4. There it is. Starting in verse 11. And we'll be looking again at how to savor the coffee in our lives and not be distracted. Paul said this, and God gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, some others to have the work of caring for and teaching God's people. Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving. To make the body of Christ stronger, this work must continue until we all are joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have His perfection. Next. Thank you. Then we'll no longer be like babies. Technology's great when it works. All right. No. Are y'all doing that? Look, they're going, no, we didn't do a thing. All right. I'm going to try again. These are the two verses I really want to concentrate on, so we're going to stop right here, okay? The two verses out of Ephesians 4, verses 12 and verses 16, I think capture what I'm wanting us to look at today. It captures the whole focus of celebrating life and what God's given us and not being distracted. When Paul says, Christ gave us those gifts to prepare God's people, His holy people, for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. And then verse 16, the whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts of the body are joined and held together. Each part does its own work to make the whole body grow and be strong with love. This morning I want to talk to you about how that happens, how the whole body, and I'm not talking about just folks that meet in this building. Paul wasn't talking about individual congregations. He was talking about the body of Christ universally. What are we called to, and how are we called to live and to serve, to really grasp and understand the beauty of being His child? Well, I want to try to put it in terms of some lessons I've learned from the theater. Our family's been involved in community theater, which doesn't have these little things, for the past 15 years. And we've learned a lot of lessons and met a lot of interesting people. There we go. In that process, one of the key lessons that we've learned is everybody has a place. Everybody has a job. They're all different. And so I want us to look at those this morning and then compare some of those to the church, to ourselves, to what it means to contain the life and the power of God in our lives. In the theater, there are promoters. There are folks that they are just good. They talk, they push, they inform the community. They want people to know what's going on in that particular theater, no matter where it is. I mean, they're mouthpieces. They work. They're excited, and they can't help but tell folks about what's going on. There are directors in theater. They're the people that kind of have a global perspective of what a particular play is supposed to look like. They know the script inside out. They understand at least their perspective of what the script writer was wanting to happen. And they know what that play is supposed to look like at the end. And they have a concept of what each player, each actor is supposed to be about. But they're directors. They're costume creators. There are people in the theater. Their job is to look for detail and to help the people that are on stage represent clearly the people that are on the written script. They help design and to make sure that costume reflects clearly what's being communicated through that script. There are set builders, people that help create an environment for folks to understand and, again, experience the play. They're actors, the folks that are actually out front. They're performing, and again, they have the advantage of all these folks working behind the scenes, helping put them in a place, again, to translate words from a page into flesh and blood. They're musicians. Even in plays where it may not necessarily be a musical, many times there's music involved before, during, or after, things that help set the stage and set our emotions, because we are people who respond to music. They're lighting designers. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to go to a play if you can't see. And sometimes the lighting can be distracting because it lights the wrong thing, or people are in the dark, or you see everything. But there are folks who have an ability to see and design lighting to help, again, communicate the message of the play. There are sound techs. You know, the worst thing in the world is to go someplace and not be able to see or not be able to hear. Or have people that know how to use these things. But sound is important. The house managers are important. Those are the folks that during a production, they're working feverishly to make sure everybody is in place, that the seats are set, that the actors and the actresses are ready, that the costumes and props are where they need to be. They're doing a lot of things that you will never see, and you may not even know that they are there. But if things come off well, it's because the house manager has done their job and they've managed the house. And there are the cleaners. Productions are messy. There ends up being stuff strewn all over the place. Those of you that have been involved in VBS is here understand that in times past. Or the Christmas productions. It just takes a lot of material, a lot of effort, and there's a lot of debris that appears. And it takes somebody to go through and pick that stuff up and to prepare so the space is ready and safe again to be able to communicate the message. Well, let's translate that just quickly into our world. There are promoters. They're a part of the body of Christ. There are folks who are energetic in their mouthpieces, and they can't help but tell folks about what's going on here or any church around the block and what God has done for them. And they're out there pushing and figuring out ways to make sure folks know what's coming and what can happen. And there are folks that fulfill that role. And there are folks that are directors who can see. Sometimes they're shepherds, sometimes they're just folks in the congregation who can kind of see the big picture, and they see how things can work together and move together and us work as a family and pull the components of the body together to help reach a community, to help serve someone who's hurting, to help tell the story in ways that some of the rest of us would never dream of. There are costume creators. There are people in this body who pay attention to detail. Details that some of the rest of us, again, would never think about or see, but they pay attention to detail because that's what helps communicate the message. And the set builders, the folks that work to set the atmosphere, to make sure that things are in place. And they're the actors, the teachers, the folks who stand up and talk or sit down and talk, that work to help make sure people hear the story and the message that's been there. There are musicians like Tommy. Thank God for people like Tommy who can stand and help us sing and help us express what's inside of us, and for some of us to make that joyful noise to the Lord, those of us without microphones. There are folks who work in the back to make sure that the lights are on and the sound's on and that you can hear and see, not just today, but all through the week, to make sure those things are covered. And there are folks that work to make sure things are in place so we can meet today, and so folks can meet on Wednesday night, and so folks in the community, as this church reaches out, that there are things in place. And there are some folks that just are cleaners. They just walk behind us and clean up our messes and try to make things right and to make things work. Well, when... Now it works. Okay. It's not going to go to the next one until I do this. But see, you can see where I was headed. When it all comes together into a great performance, when you're at a play production and everything's worked together, the costumers, the lights, the sound, the directors, the house managers, when the entire team has come together and it gels and it fits, what do we do in the audience when it's over? We rise to our feet and applaud, don't we? And we acknowledge the fact that what was intended to be communicated has been successful. We all rise when you stop in the grocery store checkout and help somebody who needs help. Maybe they're 30 cents shy of having what they need to check out. But when you use what you have to help someone in need, we all rise. The body of Christ is made stronger. The community is touched. And the church in general grows when you choose to do what you can do where you are. When you send a card of encouragement, we all rise and we're all better and stronger because you've chosen to reach out and to help somebody. When you teach a class, we all rise and celebrate the goodness of God because you've helped us see Him in a way that we've never seen Him before. When someone is hurting and you put your shoulder around them and you hug and encourage them, we all rise and the church becomes stronger because you have chosen to reach out and to help someone. And the body of Christ is stronger. When you pick up the phone and call somebody because you've missed them, we all rise. When you help a student in trouble, when you help a friend in trouble, when you feed a child, when you help somebody who can't figure out where to go in town and they've got that puzzled look on your face and you know they need help, we all rise. See, the point of what Paul was trying to tell the folks in Ephesus was that we were called to serve those around us with what we have and to celebrate the goodness and the life that He has placed inside of us. He doesn't call us all to do everything. He just calls us to do what we can. I love this point. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. What I can do, I should do. And what I should do, by the grace of God, I will do. God calls us to serve. He's created us to serve. He's filled us with the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to serve. Not based on what somebody else has or how somebody else looks or what opportunities are given to someone else. He's called us to serve with what we have and with who we are, to help those that are put in front of us. We all rise as the children of God as we choose to serve. You know, there is a converse to that. When we choose not to serve, the body of Christ is not honored. When we choose not to speak kindly, the body of Christ is harmed. When we choose not to help, the body of Christ is crippled. When we choose not to encourage, when we choose not to reach out to anybody that's in front of us, to do whatever we can, the body of Christ is harmed. See, if it's helped when we do what we can, it also can be harmed when we choose to do nothing. And that's our choice. We have the ability to celebrate the goodness in the power of God. And we are called to be joined together to do our part, to bring honor to Him. If we can help you this morning, if you want to surrender yourself to the God of the universe and to start a new life on a new path, it won't be perfect and it won't be easy, but there are lots of folks to stumble with you on your journey, and we want to encourage you to come. If you need a do-over, you just need to start over, then folks are here to encourage you and to pray for you. But if we can do anything to help you, we want to encourage you to respond now as we rise and sing this song.